I've got a history question for you. What famous batter called his shot? Babe Ruth. There he is. Now, this is a drawing. It's not a photo. Because what pictures and movies were taken of that back in 1932, it's pretty hard to tell whether he was really pointing to center field stands or not. And even he is ambivalent about it, whether he actually meant to call his shot or not. But he's, who cares? It's we like the story. He's notable because he called his shots. You know, some people, they maybe call their shot and maybe they missed it. Yeah. I don't know what he was aiming at, but he missed it. And, you know, you just can't depend upon human leadership. Never could. And there's only one who is successful in calling his shots, and that's the Almighty God. Now, I want to give you some background for this sermon. You guys are in the Bible, so I'm preaching to the choir. You know this. But just in case you need to be refreshed. Since Genesis, the people of God have always been prone to wander, as we sing it in the hymn. And King David was probably the king who best kept God before the people of Israel. Even just his Psalms show us that. He was always, well, almost always conscious of God. And quick to repent. Genuine repentance. So, after King David, it was downhill. After his son Solomon died, people began to lose sight of God because of prosperity. How many of you know that people were more conscious of God in the 30s, our 1930s, than maybe they have been since? It takes something like 9/11 to bring us back to our dependence upon the Lord. Well, prosperity and the political scene kind of took people's attention. And so it's kind of like vultures attracted to a rotting carcass, the wealth of Israel. And it attracted the political power struggles, both within their nation and with other nations. And God began to, in their minds, fade from the picture. And it wasn't because nobody said anything about it. Isaiah and Jeremiah and the other prophets, you read those books and you think, how can anybody ignore that? But they warned God about the failure, that the failure to acknowledge God in all of their ways, and the failure to obey and worship Him, only Him, that failure would lead to moral decay and then destruction. Some people say that 9/11 was a kindness, a warning, that if our nation would heed it, it wouldn't be worse. Well, that warning failed in the Bible with people of Israel, that drawing away from God began to be more and more. And in less than 300 years after Solomon, Jerusalem lay in utter ruins. Something they thought never could happen. Thousands were slain, and others like David and Hananiah and Mishael and Azariah, you recognize those maybe more by their Babylonian names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These were people who showed promise, the most promise, and they were taken captive to Babylonia. They gave them names that referred to pagan gods. I mean, here they were. They were, you see, we have their story because they proved faithful. Faithful to God in spite of the faithlessness of their own nation and in spite of the pagan culture in which they were placed. And it was in that setting that their faith was tested literally by fire and by lions. And they came forth as refined gold. You see, they knew that God was not only in control of their lives, but that He was the Lord of history. Almost 70 years after Babylonia had taken Daniel captive, the Medes and the Persians, led by Cyrus, moved in and Babylonia fell. It's kind of an interesting story. Maybe you should check it out on your own. But Isaiah had prophesied that about 200 years before Daniel. Before Daniel, he even named Cyrus. Turn in your Bibles or your phones or whatever you have or the screen. Isaiah 44, verse 24. And he's speaking of Cyrus. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, who formed you from the womb. I am the Lord who made all things, who alone stretched out the heavens. He didn't have a committee. Who spread out the earth by myself. Who says of Cyrus. This is 200 years before the guy was born. He names him. He is my shepherd. In another verse, he calls him my anointed. And he shall fulfill my purpose. He shall say of Jerusalem, she shall be built. He decreed it. He did. And of the temple, your foundation shall be laid. He decreed that. This pagan leader that took over Babylonia decreed those things for the people of Israel. And then chapter 45, on to the next chapter then, verse 5. Actually, the tail end of verse 4, he's still speaking to Cyrus. He says, I have named you, though you have not known me. And then he goes on to say, I am the Lord, and there is no other. Besides me, there is no God. I equip you, Cyrus, though you do not know me, so that people may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none besides me. All these other gods are nothing. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Now, get this, verse 7. Underline it. I form light and I create darkness. Okay, but how about this next part? I make well-being and I create calamity. I am the Lord who does all these things. It's there in the Bible. God said it. Even though we wouldn't even like to think that. Light, darkness, peace, calamity, whatever happens. Folks, don't blame the devil or climate change or unregenerate people in government. It is God working with his creation that we broke, taking the pieces and with his purpose and his timing to redeem a people for himself. He didn't do it for the sake of the United States of America. He brought this nation into being as a nurturing place for his people. There are more Jewish people in the United States than there are in Israel. In everything he does with other nations, in this nation too, he is refining and dealing with his own people who stray and are obsessed with their own agenda and indifferent to his will. In Daniel 9, his prayer begins with repentance, first person plural. Daniel was just a young teenager when all this happened, but he prayed. Now, in his 80s, maybe even 90s, we have sinned. And he prays a prayer of repentance and a prayer of intercession for the people of Israel. Now, turn to Daniel 11. This is where the angel was giving Daniel a history lesson. Hundreds of years before it happened. Now, we don't have to understand who the king of the north is and the king of the south. Just look at these verses. Because they show how man operates and how God operates. Look, 11:27. The two kings with their heart bent on evil towards each other sat at the table, same table, supposedly to negotiate, to lie to each other. What else do you do when you negotiate with another nation? Nobody can trust no one. But to no avail, here's the point, because an end will still come at the appointed time. You see the highlight there? Who has appointed the outcome? The Lord of history. Verse 36, this king, he's speaking about now as one of the many kings and powers that rose and fell. This king will do as he pleases. He will exalt and magnify himself above every god and will say unheard of things against the God of gods. He will be successful until the time of wrath is completed. Now, this would refer to God's wrath against his own people. Do you understand? You don't get angry at the neighbor's kids for the way they sass their parents. You deal with your own kids when they are misbehaving. And God's anger, his wrath, because he loves us. And he sees us just like a flock of sheep that is running from the shepherd. Not really running, but just straying off, doing their own thing. And the shepherd, he loves his flock. So he brings them back, and he'll do whatever he can. There was a fellow that was touring the Holy Land. And they saw shepherds with their sheep, just like was back in those days. And this one shepherd, there was a sheep laying beside him with its leg in a splint. And he said, poor sheep, he says, how did that happen? Shepherd said, I broke it. What? What kind of a shepherd are you? He said, he had a habit of wandering off to the edge of the flock, exploring the bushes where the wolves were waiting. And I knew that the only way I could save its life was to break its leg. And so now it's completely dependent upon me, and it never leaves my side. And when that leg heals, that sheep is going to be closer to me. Do you get the picture? How God operates? Again, verse 36 highlighted, for what has been determined must take place. Not determined by kings, not determined by governments, but determined by the Lord of history. Verse 45 again refers to a king. He will pitch his royal tents between the seas at the beautiful holy mountain. And here's the point, yet his end will come. He will come to his end, and no one will help him. You see, no matter what man does, God prevails. Verse 10 of chapter 12. The angel is still talking to Daniel. He says, many will be purified. In the whole process of all of this history and the rise and the fall of nations and everything, many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. Don't pass over this verse. That's the point of the whole thing. How God will transform you. Not just what happens to nations. Many will be purified, made spotless, and refined. He will do it. The wicked will continue to be wicked. And none of the wicked will understand. You see, if you haven't been born anew, you just don't get it. But those who are wise will understand. Those who have been given new life by the Spirit and the Word, so that they have eyes to see and ears to hear. And in verse 13, as for you, Daniel, go your way till the end. You will rest, and then at the end of the days, you will rise to receive your allotted inheritance. To you, as well as Daniel. So whatever the news, just trust God and relax. Psalm 46, we know that verse very well. Be still and know that I am God. Sometimes we can get kind of loud, especially at home where the windows are shut. Be still and know that I am God. Because we cannot change anyone. And we cannot control or change history. We can pray. We can pray for discernment. And we can vote. After we've prayed for discernment. And then we can pray for the incumbents. Doesn't matter who they are. We're commanded to pray for them. They need it. They need it. And then we can pray to know God's will for our own lives. And do it. Instead of our own will. And then we can... Did I mention pray? The Bible says pray without ceasing. You see, whenever you get impatient or angry or frustrated, Just in case there is someone here that has ever happened to. It's because things are not going the way that you think they should. And of course, your way is the right way, right? Nobody says, I'm wrong, but we're going to do it this way. No, we believe we're right, and we may be right. But trying to make someone agree with you or make things go your way can result in sharp, unkind words that we regret. You may win the argument, but you may lose the relationship. When people try to make things go their own way, it can even result in divorce, even murder, or suicide. Take the case of Judas. You see that stuff all the time in the news, and all because things did not go the way they think they should, so they tried to make it happen. So, there's no peace when you're opposing God's way. There's no peace. It's like trying to swim upstream in a rapids. And so that's why when you give up your way and you follow Jesus in his way, you find peace because you go with the flow, his flow. I heard a Catholic priest once who said, you know, you Protestants think that we make too much of Mary. And maybe they do. But he said, and I like this, he said, the best advice I ever heard came from Mary, the mother of Jesus, to the stewards at the wedding feast when Mary said to the stewards, do whatever he tells you. Can you come up with anything better than that? Do whatever Jesus tells you. Now, if you're not sure what he's telling you, then you need to get to know him better. He's the Lord of history. Your personal history, as well as the world's history. So let him call the shots. It's okay to follow the news, but read and watch the news with faith and prayer instead of being upset. After all, why should we be upset? We know the good news. I get my news from a Christian magazine called World. And I listen to their newscaster online every day, who always, after he gives the top of the news, he concludes with these words, remember, whatever the news, the purpose of the Lord will still stand. Don't you just want to applaud when a newscaster would say that? Whatever the news, the purpose of the Lord will still stand. So instead of throwing up your hands in exasperation, lift them up in prayer and worship to the Lord of history. Lord, we thank you. We're just so blessed to be your children. We're so blessed to have your word that you are showing us what is happening. You help us to understand the news. And you help us to look forward to the future and not fear it. And we pray, Lord, that every day we can acknowledge you in all of our ways. That we can get to know you better and better and to desire you with all of our heart. And Lord, may we be leaven and salt and light and influence in this nation because we're your kids. In Jesus' name, amen.